Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, this is the China Sports Insider Podcast. My name is Haik Balian, and I am with Mark Dreyer. He is the China Sports Insider. This week, we're going to do something a little bit different. We are going to explain that in a second, but it's going to be really exciting. We're going to take a look back at some of the big figures in Chinese sports history, and we're going to take a look at the future as well. But first, Mark, this is day eight of quarantine, day seven. What is your favorite thing about being in quarantine?
The fact that every day I get closer to getting out. It's okay. You know, it sort of feels a bit like I watched, this is complete tangent, but I watched this Chinese movie that's been popular recently. And it's the one that's just been censored, which is absolutely incredible. But it is so bleak. It's about this farming couple, and it's a bleak movie, but it's really good. And basically, the wife of the couple is quite a well-known actress, and the husband is a genuine farmer from Gansu province. And he's brilliant in it. He's really good. And it's you know, not a massively, you know, complicated storyline, but just, you know, a real sort of gritty portrayal of Chinese life. The reason I mention that is because after watching that last night, and I feel like basically saying, oh, my hotel's a bit small, or my food's a bit like, oh, it's not quite as tasty as it might be, or not enough choice, kind of feels like, yeah, okay, not a real problem. But yeah, it's just a bit tedious. I'll be honest. It's quarantine. It's not a whole lot of fun.
This is, I mean, I think you've probably set a record. I don't know anybody who's done as many quarantines as you have. What is this, number three or four for you?
Well, I was kind of going to Taiwan, so I had to do a couple on the other side as well. I will have finished 11 weeks in total by the time I get out. Honestly, I know other people who have done more than me, so I'm not complaining.
Oh, okay.
But what I will say is, it just, okay, apart from just the obvious overkill of COVID zero, you know, where we had 20 people in.
Mark, dynamic zero COVID, I believe, is the proper.
The official.
Nomenclature. Yeah, please. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Apologies. Sorry to interrupt.
Apologies.
Go ahead.
I'll submit my self-criticism letters shortly. You know, so we had our 20 hazmat suits meet us, very nice welcome committee. So basically, I get tested every single day, and they sort of fairly aggressively swab the back of my throat. Now, again, not a complaint because I'd far rather that than the nose probes, which I got last time. It has been confirmed to me by some people who are out in Beijing that, you know, the usual testers out and about in the city just kind of waft it over the tongue very quickly. Here, they're really giving it a good old scrape on the back of the tongue, and the back of the mouth. However, yesterday, the monotony was broken somewhat because they came into my room to swab basically five different places. They swabbed the handle of my door. They swabbed the thermostat, which I'd possibly turned on when I walked in, and that was it. They swabbed my desk area where I'm sitting now. They swabbed the sink and maybe some other places. And I was just thinking, like, you know, I'd heard that this was going to happen. It was like, what are they finding on the thermostat that's not in my mouth? I just, you know... And it's like, okay.
We don't know who stayed there before, though, Mark.
And the other thing, I've come prepared with a bit of a prop here, because we've been given these these big trash bags, and if you can see here, it's branded medical waste. Is that coming up properly?
Yeah, perfectly.
So there you go. So I've been carefully separating all my, you know, cans and recycling into one bag, but it's all going to get incinerated, stuck in a landfill. I just don't know. But I've been poking out the window, because that's basically the only thing I have to do all day. And what they do is they take at 4 o'clock every day, they take away all the bags of trash, medical waste, I should say, that have come from room. So all my meals, anything that comes out of my room goes in these medical waste bags. They take them downstairs and then they put them in cardboard boxes, which they line up in the forecourt. And of course, you know, they're in head to toe hazmat stuff. And then they tape up the boxes and then they cart them into this storage area at the front of the hotel. I don't know where my mission tomorrow is to find out, do they get incinerated in this little kind of, like, it's like a kind of like a shipping container. Or is that just a temporary transport, so then someone picks them up from the other side of that? And this is like, I don't know. But there's an awful lot of processing going on for all the waste. And it just, yeah, I'm not sure what the point is, but, you know.
Well, and, you know, not to get too dark here, but, you know, the headlines coming out today, you know, there is really no end in sight to zero COVID. So we have this to look forward to really for the foreseeable future, which newsy to me, I think, you know, after the Congress, there's going to be, this isn't going to happen. It's going to be, if and when this does sort of abate, it's going to be at the most random moment when nobody is like, can predict it.
So you mentioned the Congress, and, you know, we're going to talk about that with a twist in just a little moment. And you could argue that, you know, the 20th Congress to China in terms of importance is probably up there alongside the Olympics. You know, it's genuinely getting that kind of that much attention. Obviously, for a sports podcast, we care a little bit more about the Olympics than the 20th Party Congress. However, lots of people find it very important. Before we do that, I did just want to mention that friend of the show and former podcast guest, Cameron Dicker, a.k.a. Dicker the Kicker. Now, let me remind you who this guy is. He is an NFL kicker who played his football at Texas, but he was born in Hong Kong and spent the first decade plus of his life in Shanghai. Actually grew up a soccer fan, primarily in Shanghai. I played a little bit of football and then moved back to the US and was very, very successful to the point where he was a kicker throughout Texas, one of the top programs there, and then was signed by the Rams. But then he kind of went through this whole big process, and there's a bit of a story here, but I'm getting to the climax, and it's not exactly a punchline. Signed by the Rams, and then they cut him, and then a bunch of teams tried him out. He played for the Ravens in preseason game and he did pretty well, but then they cut him. And then he got picked up by the Eagles, signed to their practice squad, and then their normal kicker, Jake Elliott, was injured. So Dicker the Kicker, Cameron Dicker, played for the best team in football, the Philadelphia Eagles, 5-0. He kicked basically two field goals and two extra points, 8 points in a 2017 win this weekend. And hey, it may just last 1 week, but long may it continue. He was such a great guy to have on. I would really encourage people to listen to his story. Just a really cool guy. And I have to say, I'm actually an Eagles fan. An Eagles fan by marriage. I know it's a little bit of a tenuous connection, but my wife grew up in the Philadelphia region. And so I'm an Eagles fan by marriage. And so of all the teams that Cam is playing for, I'm super pumped that it is the best team in football. Have I said that before? I'll say it again. The best team, the 5-0 Eagles, guaranteed, you heard it here first, guaranteed to win the Super Bowl this year or next year.
Wow, guaranteed. My God, wow.
Well, amazing. You know, we're making a lot of predictions in this particular show. Anyway, check the comments, but listen to the Cameron Dicker life story. He was a fun guest that we had on.
Yeah, absolutely. You can take a look at that at thechinaproject.com and, you know, find us at the podcast tab. Big week for Philadelphia sports, by the way. The Phillies made it to the NLDS, and the Sixers start a very, very, you know, they're an amazing team this year, and they're going to start playing next week. Mark.
Something about baseball was kind of crossing my feed, Hagen. I just wanted to ask you that as a big fan of a big fan of Toronto sports teams.
Yeah.
I think the Blue Jays
they crashed out. Yeah. They crashed out badly. Yeah, they crashed out badly. Okay. They were favorite. They coming into the season, there was a lot of hype with this team. They have some incredible young talent, and they augmented that with some veteran talent. They had some good pitching. So people thought they're going to do really well. But you know, they just sort of underwhelmed this throughout the entire season, but it looked like they were pulling it all together near the end of the season. They got the top wild card spot, played against the Seattle Mariners, and you know, it was a 3-game series. All 3 games were supposed to be in Toronto, but didn't get to the 3rd game. They lost in 2. So very disappointing season for them.
Weren't they like 9-1 up and then lost 10-9 or something?
They were up 8-1 like, in the 6th inning.
Yeah.
So just a heartbreak for that team. I mean, you know, look, it's baseball.
I do just want to throw in, as a Montreal Canadiens hockey fan, and I know I've got quite the array of sports teams here. I've got Eagles, I got my English soccer teams, my Canadian hockey teams. Just wanted to throw in, you know, Toronto kind of known for choking.
What are the Expos known for?
Moving south to Washington. Moving on.
I'm excited for this. I am so excited for this, Mark. So look, explain what we're going to be doing right now, or what you're going to be doing right now. What can viewers look forward to right now?
Okay. Well, so a big thing, you know, the 20th Congress is when China kind of has a leadership reshuffle. A lot of people talking about this. A lot of predictions about who's going to be in the next cabinet, the Politburo. There used to be a top 9. More recently, there's been a top 7. We think it's probably going to be another top 7 again. But who knows? It might be 8, might be 9. But let's, for the sake of argument, let's go with 7. So, you know, Xi Jinping, barring an absolute miracle, is going to get his 3rd term as president. And then we'll find out who's going to be the premier and the chairman of this job and the secretary of this job and all these other jobs, right? So that is what is happening from this Sunday, the 16th of October. All China Twitter and China watchers are talking about this. It's pretty dry, to be honest. It's pretty dry stuff because, frankly, we know what's going to happen. Xi Jinping's going to stay at the top. And then, honestly, it doesn't really matter anymore who the other jobs are. So I just thought, let's do something similar with sports. So I've come up with 2 lists, an old and a new list for China sports. So let me run you through the old one, and then I'll kind of go through who I think may be in the top 7 for China sports moving forward. A little bit of a flyer here, but let's see how this goes. So the president, and we're looking back, and so we're looking back kind of, you know, the last maybe 5 to 10 years, but, you know, it's supposed to be kind of like a 5-year thing, but some of these go a little bit back further. But, you know, the president, when I think China sports president, it's got to be Yao. I mean, Yao is just the greatest. You know, he's a legend. He's done it all. He's just kind of at the top of the tree. When you think of who is at the top there, other people could kind of say, well, historically, you know, going back, you could probably dig up some figures from the past. But in more recent history, yes, he retired in 2011, so he's no longer an athlete. But, you know, he's head of the CBA. He's still just the force. He is overshadowing all of China sports. I think you could make that case. So the president, and this is kind of my only really political position, but, you know, president, the number one of the top 7, Yao Ming. Any arguments there?
No arguments there. And I just wanted to augment that, though, as well, Mark. He was there in Australia when China played the United States for the final, wasn't he? And that was, you know, he's a big part of that success as well.
In the Women's World Cup for basketball.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Obviously, he's you know, more overseeing kind of, and he's brought in a lot of changes to the men's side. There was this whole thing a few years ago where he sort of divided the national team into these 2 parallel teams, which would go off and compete separately. There was like the red team and the yellow team, I believe they had. And then they would kind of come back. It hasn't quite worked out the way he wanted it to. But look, he was trying to shake things up. He's faced a lot of resistance there with the his nine vice presidents, I think in the CBA and Chinese basketball. But you know, he's still trying to do his thing and bring in some modernization to the sport. So we wish him well. Anyway, on to number two. So the second and third roles, I've called them the best female athlete and the best male athlete, right? It's kind of, you know, sports awards. Best female athlete, again, not particularly controversial for me, but Lena, and she's a favorite of mine. I did write about a little chapter in my book where I got to meet Lena filming a Nike commercial, and it was actually it was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. I was going to be a big star, and then I turned up and spoiling the punchline. There was a room full of 500 people, and I thought, oh. But then they kind of plucked me just for the moment. I thought, I've completely wasted my time here. They plucked me from obscurity, gave me a wife for the day. We were supposed to be in an airport terminal. We were standing in line, and Lena was going through immigration in an airport, US airport. That was the point of the commercial. And I was given a wife who was a Russian student. She was my wife for the day. And we were standing in line right behind Lena. And with the endless takes, you know, we had quite a good chat. So we had fun. And I thought, oh, well, I'm going to be on TV. And then, of course, they cut all my scenes, Haig. They cut me. It was frankly outrageous. My agent, I had to sack him. And it was never quite the same.
I want to see the outtakes.
But I did get to meet Lena. That's not why she's my best female athlete of the past, but she was just a legend. So she's best female athlete. Best male athlete. I've gone with someone who's no stranger to controversy. Sun Yang, the swimmer. Now.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting. Okay. Why?
You know what? He's one of the most talented athletes that China has produced in terms of like his dominance in swimming and freestyle when he had those two gold medals. Again, going back a little bit, London Olympics 2012. I do feel that he's a lot of wasted potential. And then we've got the whole sort of drug stuff, which sort of has taken him off the map. He's probably ended his career at this point. He may be able to come back, but, you know, he's going to be a lot older. So he could have been so much more. But I just didn't really have anyone else that I felt was up there. Definitely, I think, and again, we look at this from a more of a global perspective. There are names in, you know, Lin Dan, for example, in badminton. There's a ton of names you could say who are better at, say, diving and table tennis. But those names just don't really resonate outside of China. And so I sort of, you know, disqualified some of those for those reasons. But yeah, I went with Sun Yang.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so sort of like the BYD of Chinese sports. Just, you know, big in China, but outside, it's just nobody knows about it. But can you remind me, is Sun Yang going to be at, or can is he qualified, or can he be at Paris?
Yeah, so he can. He can just about. I think they sort of back-timed his thing, and he got a little, it wasn't like for, when he had the appeal that I think the ban was slightly reduced, it was kind of given a whole bunch of months, but it's, you know, it's a long way off. You know what? Am I having a brain fart? It's possible that he's actually banned past Paris, but I want to say that he can come back for Paris. Anyway.
Yeah.
You caught me.
Yeah.
You caught me.
I don't remember. No, I don't mean to. I just wasn't sure. I mean, if there is an opportunity, I mean, he is getting up there in age. It seems very,
it was like
likely.
It ended up being, I think, something like a 4-year and 5-month ban or something like that.
So long. Yeah.
It's long. It was initially like a second drugs ban is usually just 8 years, just straight. So anyway, it was a kind of complicated case. We won't get into it here. I'm going to move on to number four. Again, a little bit controversial here. Recency bias. This is the award for best Olympian.
Is this somebody from the Summer Games?
It is from the Summer Games. Well, in the spirit of the rhetoric of China of moving away from winning golds at all costs, I haven't gone with one of the dozens of Chinese athletes who won a gold medal at the Olympics. Bit slightly controversial, you could argue, when you go for best Olympian. But Su Bingtian, the sprinter, was basically like, I mean, he was celebrating. He was the closing ceremony flag bearer at Tokyo for China. even after they just were pipped to top place in the medal tables on the gold medal count by the US. So China did very, very well in Tokyo, lots of gold medals. He actually only ended up getting a bronze. He only got that bronze months afterwards, after the British team was finally disqualified for another doping offense in the relay. So he did get a medal, but we didn't think he got a medal at the time. But I'm going with Su Bingtian because he's sort of like the Olympic spirit. He's, you know, he was groundbreaking. That semi-final performance where he was the fastest qualifier into the final, 9.83 seconds. It was a pretty stunning performance. And I think, you know, China really embraced that performance. So best Olympian of the past, little bit, going with Su Bingtian. I'm going to take you back one Olympics, all the way back to Rio, for the next two awards. The best team award, which is my number five in the Politburo, the China Sporting Politburo. The best team award I'm going to give to the women's volleyball team. Recently, they were pretty horrific. They were very, very disappointing in Tokyo, but they did win gold in Rio, and they had a stunning performance. And they've just, well, historically, they've outperformed. They've wiped the floor with their male counterparts. They're one of the most popular teams with the Chinese public. You know, they constantly get coverage. They're very talented. They've got some great players. Zhu Ting was. You know, at one point, the highest paid player in the world, and certainly still one of the stars when she's not injured. She was kind of injured in Tokyo more recently. But yeah, China's women's volleyball team, I'm giving them the best team award for the sort of backwards looking. Unfortunately, didn't have enough competition as well, which kind of played into the factor there.
Oh, that is interesting. Like, no other teams in the past. Like, certainly not men's football. Well, women's, you could have maybe, like, gone back even further. For a very first Women's World Cup, of course, China did
going
play
back
the
too
United
far.
States.
Going back, going too, back far. Too far. I have pretty random and spurious rules for this. So okay. Basically, I can make it up as I go along, which is what I've been doing. But staying with the Rio Olympics for number six, which is the People's Choice Award. The People's Choice Award.
Interesting.
Which is number six on my list. I've given this to a swimmer by the name of Fu Yuanhui. Now, you might not remember this, but she was the talk of the town during the Rio Olympics because she just had this most extraordinary way of speaking, and she was so outgoing. She had such an electric personality. She talked about using all her mystical powers, and this was a phrase that she used, but basically there was some amazing moments where she'd gone out of the pool and she hadn't done very well, and you know, the CCTV commentator was interviewing and said, well, you know that you got a medal, right? And she didn't know. She's like, what? She just gasped. She's like this, and just kind of like this stunned look on her face. She's like, and she did this again.
Lovely.
With like a previous race where she did like a really good time. And she was just like so, so natural and so, you know, so brilliantly genuine. In another interview, she said, I've let everyone down. I was on my period. And people were like, what did you just say? We're not supposed to talk about these things. But she's like, well, I was basically had a shit swim. So that's the truth. And so she was breaking taboos. You know, she was, look her up on, on YouTube. There's some brilliant clips of her post-race interviews. She sort of disappeared a bit. She struggled to find the form from that. But for the People's Choice, for that Olympics, she was my star of those China Olympics. You know, like so much more memorable, I have to say, in a way that Su Bingtian, you know, wasn't a gold medal winner, but more memorable than so many other gold medal winners from China. And you know, it was just her personality shining through, and I thought it was fantastic.
That is very cool. And we can put a link to that actually on the show notes.
My seventh and final award of the China Sports Politburo is my favorite. Little bit self-indulgent. Please, okay. just go with me on this. I've called it the Dress Bee. It's the Dryer SB.
Okay, I like it. The Dress Bee. We need you to fashion something in your quarantine hotel. something to send to this athlete.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, there's no hardware. So this is a little bit different. It's as the name would suggest, it's a little bit different. I've gone with a topic that I found particularly fascinating over the last 5 years, I guess. And this is the naturalization of athletes when it comes to the Chinese team. We've seen it and we've talked a lot about it. I write a lot about it in my book, where, you know, athletes are recruited by countries all over the world. But this is a new thing for China. There are, you know, there's basically outside of men's ice hockey, where there's only a handful, maybe a couple of handfuls of athletes who have ever done this. But in soccer, we did see some athletes. Now, I'm going to give it to a Brazilian soccer player who now represents the Chinese team called Elkerson. And the Gillespie Award, quadrennial.
I was going to suggest we should do it annually. Well, you're right. Every 5 years.
Quintennially, is that the word? So it goes to Elkerson. He has, to date, played 13 times for the Chinese national team, scoring 4 goals. But he played, he had a real qualification period. Like, he had 5 solid seasons with the Chinese Super League. He has now gone back to Brazil. So it's unlikely that he's going to turn up on lists soon, because he's now playing for Grêmio in the Brazilian league, I think. And I don't know if he's going to make it back to China. I don't know whether they'd pick him. I don't know what the relationship is there at the moment. And it was always going to be a bit uneasy. You know, these Chinese recruits, like, how long do they stay Chinese? Do they hand the passport back in? Is he still qualified to play for China? Does he still have to, like, to maintain eligibility, does he have to play with the Chinese league? Or now he's converted, is he good to go forever? So it's kind of unclear with the future for Elkerson and some of these other recruits. But I've given it a little bit different. The Gillespie Award, the Dryer Gillespie Award, self-indulgence
to
the max. But you know what? This is our podcast. We can do what we want. So that concludes probably a little bit too long, but that concludes the old China Sports Politburo. Are you ready for the new one?
Well, I was going to call an audible here, Mark. Why don't we leave the second half of the list to next week?
Yeah, send us in some feedback. If you have any suggestions, not too late to make your case to who should be in the new China Sports Politburo for the next 5 years. These are very, very privileged positions. It's a huge honor, particularly the Gillespie Award, the new Gillespie Award. A lot of people want to win that. I've sort of penciled in, if we've got one more week to finalize the names, I've penciled in someone. It's going to be a little bit controversial, but I'm liking my front runner for the next Gillespie Award. I'm just going to say that. I'm quite excited about it.
Now, you know, Mark, I'm heading to China next week, and I'm really looking forward to that because finally I get back to my home studio. I'm not going to sound like I'm coming from, the middle of a laundromat. I just sound awful. It's terrible. I'm just looking forward. I just cannot, for whatever reason, I cannot figure this microphone out. It's unbelievable. It's driving me crazy. But, I'm going to be back, hopefully, to my own apartment in about, more like 2 weeks from now, but I'll be in quarantine next week.
Well, fortunately, you'll be able to kind of live blog quarantine as I've done, which is basically interesting to almost no one apart from oneself, I find. It's like the only thing that kind of keeps me going, oh, hey, look, I'm the 1 millionth person to have ever done quarantine. So why don't I tell everyone about it? But you know, it's kind of like, there's not much else to do.
Exactly. And so this morning I spent some time buying some food and just trying to prep a little bit, figuring out like exactly what I need. It's kind of hard to know until you've done it. I mean, my wife has done it before, so she's sort of given me like some pointers. You gave me some pointers as well. So
I'm going to give you some revised pointers. Buy food, good. But not too much. Mm. I've really let myself go this week. Like, I wouldn't exactly say, people on the live stream can attest the fact that I'm not exactly like a top physical specimen, but I was in reasonably good shape, I would say, a week ago, playing a lot of tennis, as regular listeners would have heard on the very tough Taiwanese club clay courts. That is a tough, a tough circuit, let me tell you. And then here, you know, I was like, oh, let me treat myself to just more junk food. And my exercise consists of pacing up and down the 11 steps between door and window. I managed to get up to 17,000 steps today. When I have a lot of phone calls, I just walk up and down. But yeah, I've tried these kind of online workouts. They don't really do it for me. It's just not really working. So
did you bring a kettlebell with you at all, or any bands?
No, wasn't able. Kettlebell probably a little bit too heavy for the bags. Bands are probably, if that's your thing, or skipping. We never really did that I never really did that growing up in the UK. So I could just probably do like three skips and then I'd trip over embarrassingly. But yeah, like if you can do online workouts, great. But it's just what I'm saying is you're not going to do a whole lot of exercise. So just go easy on the junk food, because then you'll come out looking like a balloon.
2 months in the United States and I'm already looking like a balloon, Mark. It's unreal. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. So thank you for listening to the China Sports Insider podcast. The China Sports Insider podcast is host Mark Dreyer. He is the China Sports Insider. Check out his book on Amazon. It's called Sporting Superpower, China's Quest to Be the Best. We are on the Seneca Podcast Network on thechinaproject.com. My name is Haig Bali and I edited the show, and we will be back next week. Bye.
Bye.